This is Smart Tech, episode 1517. Even the Smart Tech Dude Gets Hacked. Hello and welcome to the recently unhacked version of Smart Tech. I am your victimized host, Chuck Minear, welcoming you back to our recently reconstructed show, website, all this stuff. So, on the road, somewhere between Portland, Oregon and Los Angeles, California, I got a message from a listener saying that the Smart Tech website was down. Now, this listener is one of the listeners that lets me know, hey, when I buy something from Amazon, I go to smarttech.tv, I click on your Amazon link so I can get some credit on Amazon so I can keep the show coming to you. So really like this guy. Yay. But he says, I can't get to the button. It's not there. And what do you mean the button's not there? So my next chance I can pull over, I pull over, pull out my smartphone. And sure enough, my website has been replaced by a message generated by my ISP. That's my internet service provider. So then I dig a little deeper. I find an email from my ISP that my entire podcast network has broken its service agreement by allowing malicious code. And so my website had been taken down until this was fixed. What? I don't even know if I know how to write malicious code. But what malicious code is on a website is usually some little program that sits there in the background, and if something private is entered into the website, like credit card numbers, phone numbers, email addresses, that information is sent back to some nefarious person. And they go through this, probably done automatically by some kind of, they call it a bot, you know, like a robot that scans all this stuff, sees if anything is useful to the hackers. Now, the way that we mitigate against that problem at Smart Tech and most other good smart websites is that those things aren't connected. So, for example, on my website, there's a place on the right for you to go and to enter your email information for our newsletter. That is not stored on the Smart Tech website. I have an account with a company called MailChimp, and all they do is handle email lists. That's their job. So they're a very secure site. They're run by professionals. They don't keep your email information together with my website information. They're separate. They're a separate login, a separate password. And the reason that we do this, and they're on a separate server, and the reason we do this is for exactly this problem. If one area of a website is compromised, the secure information is not found on that site. It's found somewhere else, managed, like I said, full-time by professionals in a secure environment. It's more like a bank than a website run by a guy in Los Angeles. So, and I know that about me. I know that I cannot put in the time and effort that you need to feel secure about putting your secure information in my website. And so I hire, that's part of the reason we have our Amazon and Bluehost promotions on the website. I hire companies to do those things. So, so email is held separately. Credit card information, we don't process credit card information. We have no reason to. We don't sell anything on the website. So you have no fear of losing your information or having something sent back to the nefarious people that I talked about earlier. There's no possibility of that, but that does not stop these people from going around to websites, finding a vulnerability, and putting in a little piece of malicious code. And so that's what happened, apparently. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I did to cure the website of this problem and how much it costs, because it did cost some money. So here's what happened. When I finally got back to my office, I called my host. Now, my host is the one that I advertise on the website. It's Bluehost. Bluehost does a great job, and they have they're a really decent price for what you get from them. And what I do is podcast network is called SmartCast. That's why the show is called Smart Tech, because it's on the SmartCast network, right? So SmartCast owns a chunk of a web server at Bluehost. We pay a monthly fee, and for that monthly fee, we're allowed to host our websites. So we have a website for SmartCast. We have a website for Smart Tech, and then we have websites that we're developing for some other shows that are in the works. Okay, we have one we've been working on DIY, do it yourself. We have one that we've been working on fitness and weight loss. Those haven't been published yet, but they're in the works. So we have websites built, at least beginning to be built for these different entities. So they all sit on the server. Now I'm the only one who knows the address to some of these sites, but nonetheless, they all sit on the same server. Basically, you call up the SmartCast server, and on there's a folder for each show or each website that we host on our SmartCast network. That's how that works. So we use a program called WordPress. WordPress is the number one web building program in the world. More people use WordPress than any other web authoring program. And the reason is it's free. The basic engine that runs WordPress is free. And also, there's a lot of good plugins, a lot of good enhancements. So what you do is you purchase this website, let's say Smart Tech. Purchase the website Smart Tech, and then I install WordPress, and I log into WordPress with, by the way, a different login than I log into the web hosting company. So it's double secure. I've got to know both passwords, and my passwords are long. You know, we've done shows on website security and using strong passwords. My passwords are 20-some characters, and I use one password. What I recommend for password security, I use one password. So I'm kind of perplexed at this point. It's like, you know, this is an aside. I'm perplexed because my passwords are really robust. To actually hack the site, you would have to spend years or be really, really, really lucky to find the combination of letters, symbols, numbers, capitals, small letters. I mean, it's random. It's generated by one password, and it's like 25 characters. It's huge. I don't know what the password to almost anything that I have is. It is stored in one password on my local machine, so it's not hackable on the web. So you buy the site, you install WordPress, and then to make WordPress look pretty, because it comes with a certain layout, and those are called themes. And so to make WordPress look pretty, you install a theme, and within a theme, it's got all kinds of stuff like ways to show videos, ways to play audio. When you go on my website, you see that there's a player there that allows you to play the podcasts, and there's links to things like iTunes, and those are buttons, and all of those things are within a theme. When you buy a theme, it's got a whole bunch of these additional plugins that allow you to do special things. And so you can get themes for free, and you can pay for themes. And if you buy a theme from a reputable company, those themes are built with security measures that keep people from getting into your theme and adding this rogue software that I talked about. So I use a theme called Get Noticed. It's Michael Hyatt's theme. I really like it. I like the layout. I like the look. I purchased it. It was not inexpensive. And it has a whole bunch of features on it. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, that's pretty secure. I don't really understand why that would have been hacked. I haven't heard any reports of his web, of his theme being hacked or WordPress being hacked in that particular way. So I called up my ISP, and the guy was really nice. Bluehost has very good customer service. And I told Bluehost, you know, can you help me? I'm looking at the code as much as I understand it, and I can't figure out what's been compromised. So he looks on his end. He's got a little piece of software that'll analyze code. And he says, well, there's a plugin in one of your, in your Smart Tech site that allows it to play a certain type of video. It actually wasn't in the Smart Tech site. It was in another site that sits on the same server. Remember, I said I could put multiple sites on there in folders. It was in another folder. And I had downloaded it because I wanted to be able to show a certain kind of video. So I was building this site, and I had these videos I needed to play. And the theme I was using on that site didn't play those types of videos. So if on WordPress, another neat thing about WordPress is if you want to do something that isn't in your theme, there's not an ability to do that, you can go on the WordPress site, look up what you want to be able to do, like show, in this case, I want to show a certain type of video that wasn't a normal video on my website. I wanted it to come up so people could see it. So they have other plugins, what they call third-party plugins, that you can download, insert those into WordPress along with your theme, and those plugins allow you to do certain things. So for example, if you go to our website, smarttech.tv, you'll see some things that are part of our theme and some things that aren't. And so let me explain them because I think they're kind of interesting, especially to our listeners. If you look at our website, you'll see the Get Update section. That's part of the theme, that subscribe button. But if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a big iTunes button, and you'll see a big Stitcher button and an RSS button and a YouTube button. Those buttons are plugins. They're not... it's not part of the theme. Those buttons are from another company. And so I downloaded the plug, actually purchased, because I liked the way their iTunes button looked and how big it was. I purchased, I think I paid under $20, and I was able to put these links on my website in a certain way. Then you'll see over to the left, you'll see a player that lets you play the podcast. When you hit the play button, it plays a podcast right on the website. There's a download button, an iTunes button, a Stitcher button. Those buttons are another plugin. It's called Simple Podcast Player, Press Player. Simple Podcast Press. Well, we say that 10 times. Simple Podcast Press Player. And Simple Podcast Press lets me play podcasts. It has some features that are of interest to podcasters. And so I paid extra for that. That's a separate plugin. You put that in, and it lets you play podcasts right on your website. But it's not part of the theme that I purchased. If you scroll down a little bit farther, you'll see my most popular posts, and basically the ones that get access the most get put up there. So, for example, my most popular posts right now that's been seen the most is setting up your own .com, or why not just get your own domain name. That one's been listened to the most. And so it lists the most popular ones. And the most popular ones tend to be some of the older ones because they've been on longer, right? There's been more chance for people to look at them. So that particular feature is part of my theme. I didn't have to go out and buy that extra, that feed of most popular posts and the code that does that. Is part of the Get Noticed theme. And if you scroll down even farther, you'll see at the bottom, older post button, you'll see up at the top, I'm going back to the top, up at the top, the way the banner is in the Smart Tech logo is kind of round and it comes up behind the banner. Those are two separate graphics. And that graphic that says Smart Tech Podcast, what it's supposed to be is my face. And I figured you'd mostly want to look at the Smart Tech logo than my face. And so there's ways to manipulate the layout and the theme to make it look the way you want it to look. So you put in themes, you put in these widgets, they call them, or plugins, and they allow you to do certain things. So what apparently happened is the plugin that was the video plugin, the one that I talked about earlier, I downloaded it. That plugin had malicious code. And so once I installed it, it contacted back to home base, wherever that was, some deep, dark Tora Bora cave, I'm sure. And hey, I got another one. It's connected. And so through that video plugin, it would bypass my passwords, my 25 character passwords, my multiple passwords, whatever. And it would get onto my site and it would embed code in the website code. And that code would send messages back. So I talked to them and they said, well, I can, you know, disable that code and that'll keep it from sending things back. But that not only affects a website that it was in, which isn't SmartTech, it's one of my other websites on the same host, but it's infected all of the folders that are hosted on this server. So I have to go through all of those, look for the malicious code, manually remove it. Well, there's thousands of lines of code. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that without screwing the whole thing up. So they offer a service. And the service is $200. $200 for someone to sit there, a programmer, and to go through my code. They probably have a utility that does this, by the way, that's able to help them find stuff. But they didn't offer to let me use the utility. They just offered to have the person. So the person goes through, with my permission, goes through my website, goes through it line by line, and eventually finds the malicious code and removes it. Then they have a service, and you subscribe to the service. It's $100 a year, and that service guarantees that if it gets hacked again, they'll go through and they'll mitigate the hack. They'll take out the malicious code. And I'm like, I don't know, because there's another way of doing it. Once you know what the bad piece of software is, which I know is that plugin, right? Once you know what the bad piece of software is, then what you do is you totally erase everything and reinstall the stuff freshly and rebuild your website, which could take me hours and hours. I mean, we have over two years of smart tech shows and commentary and all that stuff on the website. I would have to rebuild a lot of that by hand, because even though I do have a backup of the website, I don't know how far back the malicious code goes. Well, I guess I do. I guess if I could figure out when I put in that plugin, but I don't really know when I installed that plugin. So I go back to a backup that was before that plugin was installed, and then I have to rebuild the web pages that haven't been built yet. And, you know, those of you who are still listening to this show at this point are going, wow, that seems like a lot of work. So they made a deal with me. They said, if I will purchase 1 year of the insurance where they check stuff, they would only charge me $99. So the whole thing would cost me $200. So for $199, I had my website up back up in 4 days. That was a lot of money. For smart tech, for this show, that's a lot of money. $199. And I really wrestled with, do I even want to do this? Do I want to invest that amount of money? But there's been a lot of time and a lot of effort. There's people who download things and listen to this show. And I just decided I was going to make the investment. So $199 later, the website is up and running. So there's a few things that I learned from this that, like I said, those of you who have not fallen asleep yet from my saga, there's a few things that I learned from this adventure that I want to share with you. And they go... not just with people who are hosting their own websites, but with in general with operating systems, like if you use a Mac or Windows, making sure you do the security updates, things like that. They're very, very important. Because what happens is there's these guys who sit out there and they get off on breaking the sophisticated code of Microsoft and of Apple and being able to get into systems through the back door. And so Microsoft, especially, Microsoft is notorious for this. They have a lot more holes, but Apple too. They are in the business of fixing. They have whole departments that do this, that sit down and rewrite their software to plug holes that some hacker finds out in Uzbekistan or wherever they're sitting. So you want to make sure you do your software updates. And it is a catch-22 because I know on a phone, for example, there have been times where, you know, I use an iPhone. There have been times where Apple has done an update on the iPhone and it has broken the iPhone. So usually what I do with updates is I, if an update comes out and they say, and the news is, you need to update this right away. There's a vulnerability. You need to update. Then I just update. If they don't say something like that, if it's not released with great fanfare worry, then I usually wait a week. And 1 week later, if there's been no reports of major problems, I will run the updates. So here's what I've learned, okay? By the way, the files, one nice thing about this service, the service that Bluehost uses is called Site Doctor. And I got an email from them. It says, we have gone through and cleaned and secured your account to the best of our abilities. Please read through and note the changes we listed. And they actually list samples of things that were removed. So, for example, there's one that says smarttech/wp-contact/kidsneakers-puma8939.html. So what these guys have done is they've taken things that look like ads, names of files that would be like an ad or something that I would have talked about on a generic show, and they throw that file in there, and they try to name it in a way that I won't notice. Now, you can tell this is automated because, you know, if it said something like wp-content/iPhones, I'd go, oh, that's probably like some file I put up on iPhones. But when you say wp-content/swimsuit6686, I don't think we did a Smart Tech episode on swimsuits. So I think I'm pretty safe in pulling that file out. The reason that I say that you need to update things right away is that one of the problems, it says, it appears the malicious files came through one of your outdated WordPress installations. So even though I had my Smart Tech is the most used, most popular, most accessed website. It's the one that I spend the most time on. And so I'm on it all the time and I'm updating WordPress. But I had one site that I had, and it was the one that I'd put the video plugin in, that isn't out on the public really, but it's there and it's on the same server. And I'm using WordPress version 4+, you know, it's above 4. This one was WordPress 3.5. So I hadn't updated in a long time. I hadn't been on the website in a long time. And so it was just sitting there, not updated. So you have to keep track. This is my bad, okay? You have to keep track of what you've installed and make sure everything is getting updated. And if you have multiple logins to something, you've got to periodically log into those things and see if you get a message that says, hey, there's an update. Do you want to install it? Or set it to automatically update. I don't like to do that because updates sometimes break things. And so, like I said, I usually wait a week and see if anybody else reports that that update broke anything. So, you know, you're kind of in a catch-22 here, but you need to make sure that you update installations of operating systems. If you're running a website of WordPress or of any other type of web authoring software, you need to update it regularly because those have security fixes. Run an antivirus software and a spyware program on your computer, especially if you're running Windows. I run a Mac, and Macs do not have the same problems with viruses and spyware that Windows does, but it does have problems with it. Mac users who say, oh, we don't have any viruses, that is not true. And in this case, it wasn't the Mac that had the virus. It was WordPress, something I installed on top of the Mac. So you want to make sure that you run those antivirus software or spy and also spyware software. But on Windows, make sure you're running the Windows security software. Make sure. Reset your passwords regularly. You really need to do that. And that's why I recommend 1Password. I will put the link in the show notes once again. I'll also put a link to one of the shows that I talked about 1Password. 1Password, and there are other solutions out there, FastPass, 1Pass, LastPass. But I'll tell you what, I use 1Password. I believe in it. It is very secure. It's very good. It works on my my iOS devices. It works on my Mac. It works on Windows, and there's a way to get it through through the web if I need to, if I'm away from all of my systems and I'm in an emergency. So I recommend it very, very highly. I don't get any money from 1Password, by the way. If you use my link on that, don't get any money from it, but I believe in it. Use it. There's a website I'll put on also called strongpasswordgenerator.com, and it just generates random passwords. It's a good place to go. 1Password has that built in, so you just have it generate. You can tell how long you want the password to be, how many special characters you want it to be. You can try different ones until you finally get one that you like. But if you don't have that, try strongpasswordgenerator.com. But regularly reset your passwords, especially if they're easy passwords. And you shouldn't have easy passwords. Passwords are your first line of defense. And that's why my passwords for my secure sites, my banking, whatever, you know, if they say I can have up to 28 characters for my banking password, I have 28 characters. Okay? The longer, the better. And I let 1Password handle it. I don't have to remember the password because I have 1Password. Do not store your passwords on your browser or your FTP client. So you know how when you log in to a website and it says, do you want to remember this password on your computer? Do not remember this password. Do not do automatic logins through a web browser. You never know. Well, let me take that back. You do know whether things are being sent securely or not. If you look up at the top left corner of your web browser, when you send something through a browser, if it says HTTPS, it has an S before the colon, that means secure. Usually there's a little padlock icon there. That means they're sending a secure connection. So you can pretty much bet that whatever you're typing into that particular screen is secure. But how many times do we look up there to see whether the little padlock is on and whether it says S on it? Okay. We don't. Chrome makes the HTTPS green if it's secure. So that helps it a little bit. But we're just clicking through. You can click from one page to another. So the first page is secure. The next page you click to isn't. And you're still thinking it's secure. Sometimes there are windows inside of the web page where the window is secure and outside the window is not, or vice versa. So do not save your passwords in your browser, especially if you're using a public browser somewhere else. There are people, I've sat down in front of browsers on public workstations, clicked into people's accounts because they've saved their password on a public browser. Just amazing to me. Do not use your browser to save your passwords. Use 1Password or some other password management program or your brain. Log off of stuff when you're done. You go to a bank account, you log into your website, you log into whatever you log into, a server, log out. Use the log out command or button or drop down, whatever they provide. Log out. Yes, if you quit your browser, theoretically, it's supposed to log you out when you quit. But if you manually go through the log out process, you will have a more secure browsing experience and less of a chance that somebody is capturing that screen that you're on. Do not share passwords with anyone, because you just never know if they're going to share it with somebody else. That's why I use 1Password. So do not share your passwords with anyone else. And if you do, if you have to share your password, then make it a unique password. I do not know how many people I know, but a lot, who use the same password on every single website. Use unique passwords. If somebody hacks your Gmail account and they figure out your password and it is the same password that you have for your bank, how long do you think it will take them to figure out which bank you're a member of, because they have your email, and to go over there, click through something, and withdraw your money, things like that? And if somebody, if you give out your password or your password is not secure, banks are not obligated to refund that money. They're only obligated when you use a credit card. By the way, not obligated when you run a debit card, believe it or not. A lot of them do. A lot of them have that in their guarantee. But when you have, this is an aside, when you're going to use your debit card for a purchase, do not use it as a debit card. Use it as a credit card. So if you have a MasterCard debit card, run it as credit. Now you're under the full protection of the credit agreement for MasterCard. Whereas if you run it as a debit, those agreements are different. Sometimes they're the same. At my particular credit union that I'm a member of, they have a rider on it that it's pretty much the same protection. But if I give somebody my PIN number or if I give somebody my password, I am not protected because I was not secure. And I said to log off accounts when you're on there. Also log off your computer when you're not using it. Don't just leave it sitting turned on unless it's a server. But log off the computer. That's important too. Don't log in as an administrator. A lot of people have one account on their computer, and it's an administrative account. Somebody hacks into your computer, and you're in the administrative account, they can pretty much do whatever they want. So it's recommended that you set up an administrative account on your computer, and then you set up a user account on your computer. And when you have to install software or whatever, you go into the administrative account and you do that. But you do your everyday business in your regular user account. Because if somebody gets that user password, and don't have the same login for both. If somebody gets that user password, they can get into your things, but they can only manipulate so far without an administrative password. So having multiple accounts on your device is a good idea. And don't leave your computer unattended. You know, how many of those do you see where somebody has posted? I mean, just for fun, but you'll be reading Facebook. Sarah's daughter, Sally, is the best person in the whole world. Well, you know that Sally got a hold of Sarah's phone and put that post up. And that's being hacked, but hacked for fun, okay? But nonetheless, log out of your devices. Make sure you have a login for your device. A lot of people have devices. You turn them on, boom, you're right there. Use your password. I know it's a pain in the neck, but password protect your device. Your whole life is on those things, and you don't even know the parts of your life that are on those things that shouldn't be on those things that people can find if they need to. So make sure that you log off your devices and that you put a password or a passcode on all of your devices. It's very important. There's things called keyloggers and spyware. I'll put a couple links to what those are on the show notes. A keylogger basically is a piece of software that runs in the background and it just records all of your keystrokes so they can find out passwords, whatever. So you want to make sure that when you run anti-spy software, spyware, or antivirus software, that it will detect for keyloggers. Keyloggers are a much bigger problem on PCs, on Windows, than they are on Mac. Another reason I like Macs, but there are keyloggers for Macs. So just be aware of those kind of things. Finally, I'm going to say this again. I said it at the beginning. Run all of your updates. So you have application updates, programs. You have plugin updates if you're running WordPress or some other web server. You have operating system updates that are part of Windows or Mac or Linux or Chrome. Whatever you're running, please make sure you run those updates because they mostly are security updates. Sometimes it's stability updates, but mostly they're running security updates because people are trying to hack all the time. And, you know, one thing I didn't mention before with the password, but let me mention it now. If you're at home and you're using a router, you know, that thing that hooks you to to the internet through cable, through DSL, through Fios, make sure your router has a really good, robust password on it, too, because that's a gateway into your house or your business or wherever you are. That router, that piece of hardware kind of blocks the world from seeing your computer network inside of your place of business or your house. So you want to make sure you have a good password on that. We call that a firewall, that the security on the router itself is turned on, and it usually is by default, but that there's also a very good password on there. That was a lot of information. I did get my website back up. It's running all right. I hope you'll go take a look. What I really depend on is my listeners that you tell me if there's a problem, let me know. You know, I don't always click through everything. So, you can find that information and a lot more safely and effectively with no malware at www.smarttech.tv. We'd also really appreciate you going over, taking a minute or two, clicking on the iTunes button, and rating our show. That helps so much. Search engines look for iTunes, and they look for iTunes ratings. So if you'd go in and give us a 5-star rating or whatever you feel is right, you know, I don't want to tell you what to rate us, but, you know, 5 stars seems reasonable. Go on to iTunes, click there. You can leave multiple ratings on multiple days if you want to. But that really, really helps us. And using our links, on the right-hand side, we have links, and those are sponsored links. So if you click on those links and use those services, Amazon, Bluehost, whatever is there, you help Smart Tech. It costs you no more money, but it does flag them that you came through the Smart Tech website, and they give us a little bit of a kickback for that, and it helps keep us on the air. So go on our Facebook site, go on our website, leave a comment. I'd like to know if any of you have been hacked or compromised and what you had to go through to kind of fix that. That would really help our listeners. You think, nobody cares about me, I'm just a little guy. But remember that most of the attacks on the internet, in fact, probably 99% of them, are done through automated bots. They just sit there and scan and scan and scan for weaknesses. And so they don't care that you're just an average Joe sitting there, you know, in rural America. They don't care. On the internet, everybody is fair game. So remember that and take the same precautions that the big guys take. Until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.